Very good. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm excited today to talk about a new classroom project called the Sustainable Lettuce Competition. So an overview of what we'll cover here today. I'll talk about some background and inspiration for this project and competition, get into some of the rules, learning objectives, and outcomes from this, and then share with you some experimental results from the competition, which is a classroom experiment, and some of the best student analyses that I got. And then share with you some results of a survey on student perceptions of learning associated with the competition, and then some bigger picture lessons learned. So first, about the class that I deployed this competition in. I developed and taught and teach a class at University of Nebraska called Plants, Landscapes, and the Environment, HORT 100. This is an introductory survey into all the different things we can do with the landscape in Nebraska, ranging from fruits and veggies to landscape plants, and we even talk about agronomic row crops and range and pasture. And I offer it online to about 50 students and about 25 resident students each semester. So we've got two different sections, so I kind of have to tailor it to those online students. And so that's important context for this competition. It is required for all horticulture majors at UNL, but I do get a much broader audience, and that's because it can fulfill a gen ed requirement at UNL, and it's one of our science requirements. And the main outcome that I have to measure to demonstrate that it fulfills that science requirement is that students are able to use scientific methods and knowledge to pose questions, frame hypotheses, interpret data, and evaluate whether conclusions about the natural and physical world are reasonable. And so, as you can imagine, a student can get that learning outcome in a physics class, a chemistry class, or a biology class, and so it's my job to make sure that I'm delivering that outcome in HORT 100. Now, if I was in a resident class, my typical approach to achieving that learning outcome would be a student hands-on experiment. And I do that in classes like plant propagation, where a student gets to develop their own hypotheses, design an experiment, grow plants, test those hypotheses, work with the data. And that's fairly routine. A lot of us do that. But I wanted a new way to achieve this learning outcome in a uniquely online environment. And I didn't want to be sending plant supplies in the mail. I know I've got colleagues that have done that successfully. But given the class size and other constraints, I wanted to try something different. And I didn't have to look very far. I have colleagues in Extension at UNL who are doing something pretty cool, and that's this UNL TAPS program, which stands for Testing Ag Performance Solutions. This was developed at the West Central Research and Extension Center in North Platte, and it's really grown in the last few years. A quick rundown of what they do. They engage farmers, mostly corn and soybean farmers, in West Central Nebraska by having them compete in this competition. And basically, the competition is they come up with their best idea of how to grow corn, and they characterize that using a drop-down menu of management decisions, planting date, populations, fertilizer rates, and then it's the whole system. It's not just production. It's how are you going to insure that crop? How are you going to market it? How long are you going to store it post-harvest? It's the entire system. So they're just the managers. So it's just a drop-down menu. They pick what they want to do. And then it's the staff at the Extension Center that actually grows the corn. And so they run a replicated, randomized, controlled experiment. And it's a competition. And the control is basically the Extension personnel. They put forth what they think is the best management practice. And they compete against all of the farmers in the region. And the first year, I think they had about a dozen growers. Second year, I think they were up to about 18 or 20. And I think this year, they're far more than that. And so it's growing in popularity. They have a banquet at the end. They give out awards for highest yield, most profitable, most sustainable, and it's a lot of fun. They've got cash prizes and that kind of stuff. And so I thought that this was a great idea. They've shown great engagement, long-term impacts, and learning outcomes. And so I wanted to take this model and apply it to my class, HORT 100. So to do that, because my focus is more on horticulture, my model system was a lettuce crop. And to keep things manageable for my teaching team, we did this in the greenhouse, and our farming system was six lettuce pots. And so we grew lettuce in 1 gallon pots in the greenhouse, and so they each got six replicate pots to grow romaine lettuce. And this was the instructions that they received, and that was that they will act as the farm manager and the teaching team as the farmhands that will carry out their wishes. They have to justify each management choice. There's five that they choose from with regards to things like media, fertilizer, water. They have to justify that with science-based evidence, including extension publications or the primary literature. And they're charged with coming up with an optimum balance of productivity, input use efficiency, and profitability. So kind of three pillars of sustainability. They take the data from the experiment, and they have to determine who that sustainable lettuce champion is. So for each factor, students choose from three options. They write a hypothesis. They justify it. This is a screenshot from one team's initial submission. So for example, they have to choose a media, and I give them three options. So it's controlled options. Students kind of initially struggle with that. They say, well, we've got an idea for something different. Okay, that's great, but we're going to keep this some controlled options. So, for example, they can choose topsoil only in that pot, a standard greenhouse mix, and then a soilless only mix. In two semesters, I've only had one team fall for soil only in that pot, and they paid dearly for it. They got pretty close to last place. But it's enticing, right? It's only 20 cents a pot compared to 45 cents a pot, so trying to get them to think about these trade-offs of, you know, sometimes the cheapest thing isn't always the best, and we've got some evidence to suggest that sometimes the most expensive option isn't always the best. So they develop these hypotheses, come up with a science-based justification. So in this example, they used an extension publication out of Utah State to justify their choice. So the result is we typically have between 15 and 20 teams of about 4 to 5 students in the class, and the result is this kind of big systems experiment. And it's worked out, I don't know, I haven't run the stats to see what the factorial is and the number of possible combinations that we have, but it's worked out where in two semesters we haven't had two teams pick the exact same treatments. So we come up with this cool systems experiment. It's messy, but we get variability in media, fertilizer source, and rate. We talk a lot about biological inoculants, which is interesting following up on the garden professors because there's a lot of claims made about these biological inoculants and stimulants, so I give them a chance to test those out, and then frequency of irrigation. And then just like with that TAPS program, the teaching team, we put ourselves out there and we compete against the students, which I think is fun for them to have a chance to take a run at us, and in two semesters we have not won yet, so that's fun for the students too. So what I like to do is continually engage the students because it takes a couple of months, right? And so I at least once a week am giving students updates on how they're doing. And so to do that, I typically use the Canopio app, which is basically a pixel image analysis, and you can estimate leaf area or ground cover. This was developed at Oklahoma State University. It's a great free online app. I use it for a lot of different things in research and teaching. So in this example, I said, okay, so you can tell that they had some fun with the names too. So there's different ways to get them engaged. So Romaine Empire, because this was romaine lettuce, they were in first place on this given day, and that was determined by this 34.29% green area in the image. You have to kind of standardize your image. All the way down, you can see at this point, Balancing Act, that was the control, the teaching team. We were in third place. And there's some others like Romaine Calm and Let Us Win. And we gave Let Us Win a hard time because they ended up getting close to last place despite their name there. And then the other thing that I really enjoyed about this competition was that it created some kind of authentic and organic learning opportunities. And so as I and as the teaching team observed what was happening in the greenhouse, we were able to kind of communicate, take pictures and communicate those phenomena to students. So this was one example. This was in the first semester. We were kind of shooting in the dark. We hadn't run this experiment on our own. And we created a controlled set of treatments that we hoped were going to provide favorable results. But one of the fertilizer rates ended up being a little bit high, especially with the organic source of nutrients. We were using a sustained product. It's composted turkey litter. Had 8-2-4 analysis, and that highest rate led to some ammonium toxicity and some seedling stunting, and in some cases seedling death. And so that was a good teaching opportunity to show a comparison of the lettuce seedlings in the highest rate, the lowest rate of mineral fertilizer compared to the highest rate of organic fertilizer to say, I know this doesn't make sense, but actually a lower fertilizer rate produced better results than a higher rate of organic fertilizer, and here's why. And I was able to bring in some of my own research on mineralization rates from different organic fertilizers and talking about the release of nitrate versus ammonium. And so that was fun for me to create these kind of just-in-time teaching moments. And then at the end of the experiment, the teaching team provides students with their yield and water and end-use data. So we just give them the raw data. They calculate irrigation efficiency, nitrogen input efficiency, gross and net income, and then they use that data with a set of prompts to answer some questions, explore hypotheses, and then they have to try to figure out who that winner is. We, of course, calculate that as well, but that's part of their final assignment. So share with you some of the types of responses that I got from students. Of course, it's a normal distribution, and I'm going to share with you one end of that curve, and it's the good end of the curve of responses. But for example, I posed the question to them based on class data. So that's the other thing. They submit their answers. We aggregate the class data, create a key, and then we release that to them, and they use that to answer these questions. So based on class data, which management choice or combination was most important for maximizing nitrogen fertilizer input efficiency? And they have to create graphs to support their conclusion. So it's a little bit difficult to see here, but this particular student said, I think the management choice that was most important for maximizing nitrogen fertilizer input efficiency is nitrogen used per pot. So not too surprising, but you can see they're getting practice calculating means. They've got a standard error around each mean, and they're using, we talk about how generally if those standard errors don't overlap, we can say with some level of confidence that those means are different. Then another student here, the prompt was to ask for the management choice most important for increasing lettuce yield. I like this one because it kind of shows how the students think. They start out by saying, well, first I just sorted all of the results to see what the top teams did. So that's kind of what I would expect a student to do before they have the skills to calculate means, standard errors, and do means comparison. And they said, I noticed that the top few teams, they were using mineral fertilizers, and that's good. But then they went a step further and said, but then I did what you told us and calculated means and standard errors. I plotted it out. And they came to the same conclusion, but I think it was valuable to see the students thinking about how they came to the same sound conclusion using both qualitative and quantitative approaches. And I even had one student who submitted some SAS output, which I found pretty surprising. And so this student had these beautiful interaction plots, which was one of the best summaries I'd seen of all the different things that were happening. This was for average net income, so they demonstrated that basically not using some of the biological inoculants led to better net income. And so this is not, I love the University of Nebraska. This is not typical for our typical freshmen at Nebraska, so this is high quality. As it turns out, this was a student who was applying to graduate school who needed to remediate some deficiencies, so he's now in graduate school. So at the end of the competition, made a prize. So the first year, I teach a class at our Makerspace Innovation Studio. So I made some lettuce, or I made some pots that said Sustainable Lettuce Champion on it with a picture of a head of lettuce. And I had one student who won that first semester, and she called me and said, I've never had a green thumb, so I called my mom to brag when I found out I won. So, that is good. We want students to be engaged in this process and be excited when they win the competition. And then some results of student perceptions of learning. 75% students agreed in that survey that the competition increased their knowledge about the scientific method. It also increased their confidence in their ability to analyze and interpret data, and confidence in their ability to design a valid scientific experiment. And then this one was really important to me. 87% agreed that the competition increased their knowledge about potential economic and environmental trade-offs in plant production systems. We spend a lot of time talking about that in various ways in the class, and I really think that once they grapple with the data and see, like, wow, you look at that nitrogen input data and you see how there's disconnect between lettuce yield in response to nitrogen fertilizer and also that input efficiency and then the effects on overall profitability. So that seemed to hit home with a lot of students. So some big picture lessons learned to summarize here. One of my favorite parts about this competition is the ability to turn teaching mistakes like offering too high of a rate of organic fertilizer into a learning and teaching opportunity. I would also suggest, if you're thinking about something like this, especially with a hybrid course where you've got online and resident students, I allowed the resident students the opportunity to help manage, harvest, and also eat the lettuce from the competition, so another opportunity to engage there. I do like to have the students work in teams for management choices, if not for no other reason than to keep the number of treatments in this experiment smaller, because we've already got 15 to 20. So if every student, you know, we'd have 75 teams and it would be unwieldy. And but I have them work individually for analysis because that's so important. And then the last thing I'll say is make the prize something students really care about. So I spent a lot of time making those cool pots that were customized. I was way more excited about them than the students were. A lot of them didn't show up to pick them up even when they won the competition. So I've quickly learned that there's one currency that students really care about, and that is extra credit. So I would recommend that over custom-made pots for a prize. So acknowledge the TAs and learning assistants, IRB for the survey results, and I probably don't have time for any questions, but I'll hang around. Thanks. Thank you.